The Ghost Rap Podcast is brought to you by Forvis Mazars, an internationally integrated partnership operating in over 100 countries and territories, including South Africa, delivering audit and assurance, tax advisory, and consulting services to clients. Please note that everything you hear in this podcast is my own opinion, not the view of Forvis Mazars. It feels like the earnings season is nearly over, so well done, we survived. Personally, I feel like I need a holiday. In the previous edition of Ghost Rap, I looked at how the retailers really struggled in the first month or so of the new calendar year, so I suspect many of them felt like they needed a holiday as well. And in literally the past couple of days, those stocks have finally stopped dropping and have turned higher. Still, some of the retailers are down more than 20% year to date, so the consumer-facing stuff has been ugly for local investors. But what have the winners been? Where could you have really made money on the JSE thus far in 2025? Bearing in mind that we are roughly 3 months in, a reasonable annual return expectation means you should be smiling if you are up 3% or so this year. But then, why is a top 40 ETF up 9.3% year to date? And how can this performance be so different to buying the S&P 500 as a local ETF, in which case you would be down 7% year to date in Rand? The answer lies in the constituents of the index, of course, as well as the rotation away from US stocks this year. On the topic of rotation and index constituents, we better start with mining, because after all, that really is where the action has been on the local market. Gold is glittering. Let's start there. And it really has continued this year from where it left off last year, with the yellow metal going over $3,000 an ounce for the first time. This has allowed the gold miners to also continue their run from 2024, with the likes of Gold Fields up 50%. It almost doesn't matter where you look, because Harmony, that's up 41%, Anglo Gold Ashanti, that's done 43%. But what of Pan African Resources? Why is that up only 17%? And the word only is obviously working quite hard there, because it's with reference to its peers. I think this is a particularly interesting one, as this is the long position that I added in the past few weeks. The company had a disappointing period in the 6 months to December, with production coming in below expectations. Now, obviously, when the gold price is doing well, investors want to see production being as efficient as possible to really take advantage of that price. Now, whilst I agree that poor numbers need to be punished in a share price, the reality is that production guidance for 2025 was maintained by Pan African. In other words, they expect to claw back the issues in the second half of the year. And if you look ahead to FY26, there are major projects coming on stream to boost production. To add to my bull case, there's a gold derivative that expired at the end of February, so they are now seeing the full benefit of the gold price. And yet the share price reacted so negatively to news of production in the first 6 months, I just couldn't help but put on a position on the basis of that sell-off. Watch this one closely. I would not be surprised if by the end of this year, Pan African Resources is top of the pile if we use that post-sell-off base for comparative purposes. And that was my in price. Hopefully it works out. Platinum, is that you? By now, reading about a supply deficit in the platinum market is nothing new whatsoever. Feels like it's the same story over and over again, usually accompanied by a chart that shows us how electric vehicle demand isn't living up to expectations, and thus demand for platinum in internal combustion engine or ICE cars must continue. Now, at some point, the supply and demand dynamics effectively do become true, and there is a deficit. If prices stay depressed for a long time, investment in mining capacity is low or even non-existent, and hence, over time, supply shrinks. If you do then see an uptick in demand, inevitably the price spikes, and this encourages investment in capacity, which then solves the supply issue and hence prices come down. This is why these are known as cyclical industries. Platinum just has particularly tricky cycles to manage, and there's a worry about a structural decline in demand in the market. Now, thus far in 2025, the market seems to be believing something about the platinum story other than a structural decline. The price of platinum futures is up 9.5% year to date. Before you get too excited, it's only up 12% in the past year, and it's been very much range bound over that period. Still, with prices of the commodity having gone in the right direction this year, we've seen quite a rally in the sector. Impala Platinum, that's up 37%, Northern Platinum 35%, Amplats 27%. By the way, Sibanye-Stillwater is so downtrodden that the share price is up only 25%. That's below the platinum peers and below the gold peers, even though those are the major commodities at Sibanye-Stillwater. Still, 25% up is a whole lot better than punters have been used to seeing recently. The variance over 12 months within the sector is astonishing though, showing how marginal the economics have been in this industry. It really does separate the better quality companies from the ones that are struggling. Where companies are producing efficiently and lower down the cost curve, there is performance to be enjoyed. For example, Impala Platinum is up 83% over 12 months, Amplats is up just 7.6%. Now obviously the timing and the base effect and everything makes a difference here, but it is very different to gold, where essentially everything is up and by substantial margins. Platinum is far more volatile and far riskier. So what about the rest of the market? I've got to tell you that things have not been great outside of the mining sector. For context, the Resource 10 index is up 27% year to date, so clearly the rest outside of the resources sector is not shooting the lights out if overall JSE returns are in the single digits. If you look at the small cap index, you'll clearly see the impact of the risk-off environment in equities that we've seen globally, or especially in the US at least. That's down 7.5% year to date. The mid-cap index, that's down 1.5%. The Financial 15 index, that's down 1%. This really leaves us with the Industrials index to look at, which is essentially the Polony of the JSE, the index where they put everything that doesn't have an obvious home anywhere else. And it has been doing well, which means we need to look once again at the constituents. The place to start there is Naspers, which has the largest contribution to the capped industrial index. Thanks to a resurgence in belief in China, it's up 19% year to date. Prosus, that's up even more, 22% return. I'm invested in Prosus, a position that I picked up in January when there was a sell-off that just didn't make sense to me at the time, and happily that means I'm up 31%. I just wish, of course, that it was a much bigger proportion of my portfolio. An area where I have no exposure whatsoever and hence I've missed out on recent returns is the telecom space. Most of the time I don't feel like I'm missing out because it hasn't been a great performer over a long time period. But this year, it's been a growth area on the JSE. MTN, that's up 26% year to date, Vodacom 14%, Telkom up nearly 6%, well below the other two, but actually still really good when you annualize that return. But the winner by far, Blue Label Telecoms, up 34% this year as the market is believing more and more in the sell see strategy. Why is the telecom sector doing well this year? Some of it is probably related to the general outlook that 2025 will be a better year for African currencies. Honestly, they do deserve a break, as recent times have been incredibly bad and have really hurt these businesses. A lot of it is also some of the recent growth in South Africa, which has been pretty decent by telecom standards. Of course, when you see moves like these, what it really tells you is that the valuation was so depressed that even a small amount of good news makes a difference. So what am I watching? Look, a lot of things, but what I will highlight here is that banking might be worth keeping an eye on. For example, does it really make sense that Standard Bank is up 8.4% this year, yet Absa, which also has a large African business, is down over 2%? Absa is now trading on a trailing dividend yield of 7.9%. Sure, it's no rocket ship from a growth perspective, and we do have the interest rate cycle to worry about, but that is just one of the names I will be keeping an eye on, and they do now have a new CEO coming on board, which is interesting. The great thing about the markets is that they keep dishing up volatility and thus opportunity. Stay disciplined, stay alert to silly moves especially, like the gift that the market delivered in Prosus in January. It's going to be particularly interesting this year to see whether there's more follow through now, both in the mining industry and in telecoms. Watch Platinum, watch telecoms. They've had a hard time for a long time. Maybe this is their year. Time will tell. And that's a wrap. Please remember that nothing you hear on the Ghost Rap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research and visit ghostmail.co.za for more insights into the market.